Pastor Ray Bentley reveals a rich promise from God, a conditional promise.
If you listen to me and walk in my ways, you'll be free of guilt, you'll be able to really enjoy happiness, and the ground you walk on every day will be blessed. Your marriage will be blessed, your children will be blessed, everything you put your hand to do will be blessed, and your generations to come will forever be blessed if you follow me. I know which one I want to be in, hallelujah. I want to be blessed.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. There's tremendous reward when we walk in the ways of the Lord. If we don't, if we chart our own path, there's heartache like we can't even imagine. Today, from our studies in Deuteronomy, Pastor Ray shows us how to follow the path God lays before us. We'll find it's the path with the richest rewards.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and you'll see that the title of the message is The Recipe for Happiness. Okay, so we're going to be following along in the what I call life lessons. So here's the first life lesson, if you want to follow along and fill in the blank in your little outline there. We are to declare that God keeps his promises by giving him the first fruits. Now, this is going to be ancient Israel going into the promised land, and God wants them to know, when you get your first crops from this new land, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 26, here's what he says. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and then go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So the idea is you're to take the first fruits, put it in a basket, bring it to the place God would show, which ultimately will be Jerusalem, and then get the priest, and then this young, new generation with this new land and with these crops are to say, I want to declare in the house of the Lord that I'm in the land that you promised to my forefathers. And basically what you're declaring is, God, you keep your promises. You keep your word, and I am declaring it, and I'm honoring you with the first fruits of all that you have given to me. Okay, so then let's go to the next life lesson. So this whole ceremony with these young Israelis entering in for the first time into the promised land with their first land, their first farms, their first crops and harvest, and they're to honor the Lord with the first fruits. But we are also to remember what God has delivered us from. What has God delivered you from? What has he delivered me from? Look in verse 4. It says, then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. There's something intentional that is going on when he brings this basket and he brings this offering before the Lord. Actually, this whole new, fresh generation that first inherited the promised land found themselves standing in an extremely privileged place, a special place in history. And if you go back in history, for this young generation, think back. Things did not look so pretty not too long ago. In fact, their own parents had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and then perished in the wilderness. And the grandparents before that, and going back generations before that, had been slaves for 400 years. In other words, here you are, a new generation, And you have all of this great land, you have all of this prosperity, you have all of these blessings, you're standing in the house of the Lord. You need to recognize, God wants you to be conscious that there were many, many, many generations who went through great misery and who made great sacrifices in order for you to stand in the place of prosperity and privilege in which you are now standing. All right? How fate has now smiled upon you. So, here's the next life lesson. We must remember where we came from. Now look with me in beginning in verse 5. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, and they afflicted us, and they laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to the place that he has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Wow, God actually gives them a speech. Say this, rehearse this. And it all starts, I want you to notice in verse 5, you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. Now, as you're reading that, when you say, okay, I want you to give this answer, then if you give an answer, it means there must be a question. If you notice in the passage, there's no question. He just says, I want you to answer this. Why am I so blessed? And it's a very sobering question. God is saying to those who are here now, he's asking them a sobering question. Do you deserve what all those who went before you did so that you could enjoy where you stand today? He's not shaming them, he's educating them. He's wanting to open their eyes. He's wanting them to really consider, do I really deserve this? It basically, he says, you need to remember where you came from. You need to honor those who went before you, the sacrifices they made, and you need to demonstrate it personally and publicly by declaring to God, God, I know where this all came from. I owe them something, and I owe you because I am alive and here today under this blessing of fate and history and fulfillment of the promises to my forebears, and I am honoring you with the first fruits. The word lays out for him what he must do if he is to face his not entirely deserved good fortune and if he wants to face it with integrity. So what is it that God really ultimately is wanting from all of us in this? We must recognize, he wants all of us to recognize that everything that we have is a gift. You can't just say, I deserve it. It's mine. I made it. Because there was much that went long, long before you to bring you even to the place to have the where you are standing today. So we have everything we have as a gift, and we have to learn to share it. Because God said, look, this is why he says this is the speech that you must make. Beginning in verse 5, he goes, this is the answer you should say. My father was a Syrian. And he was about to perish. He was going to die. And then he had to go down to Egypt and live there. And there were few in number. Jacob, even with his 12 sons and then their families, it was only about 70. But while we were there in Egypt, we became a great nation, great and mighty and populous, to several million strong. But the Egyptians mistreated my parents. They afflicted us. They laid bondage on us. And then we had to cry out to God, the God of our fathers, and he heard our prayers. He saw our affliction. He saw our labor. He saw the oppression of those in my past. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with signs and wonders and an outstretched arm. And therefore, he is the one who has brought me and my wife and my children now to this promised land. And so here I am, the last link in a chain. He wants that young generation to understand the tremendously privileged place that history has put me in. He wants that young generation to say, I get it. I understand. And I'm going to honor not only my mother and father, but all those who went before them and the generations of the past who suffered so much to bring me to where I am now. And this, by the way, answers his crisis. Because if we fail to recognize that all the blessings I have now are a gift that come from God, I will be saddled with guilt because everybody knows way deep down that has been super abundantly blessed that they're not worthy of it. They're really not worthy. And so there's guilt that is laid upon us because you have to answer the question, why you? Why were you born at this time? Why were you given this privilege? Why were you given all of this blessing? Why were you given these opportunities? And then why me? Why me? But if you will listen to your Heavenly Father, if you will recognize, I get it. I'm standing on ground that has been dug and paved with great sacrifice, and I'm going to honor that going back this way. And I'm going to honor it this way because He's the one that gave the promise and brought us all to where we are now. And I am humbled by it. And I'm going to honor God with the first fruits of it. And beyond that, I'm going to share it with others. Because He said, not only are you to give God the first fruits, then you're to give to the Levites. Well, why give some to the Levites? Because there were 12 tribes, but God pulled one of the 12 out and said, you guys don't get one square foot of land. You get nothing in the inheritance of the land. You get the privilege of serving God directly by being in the temple and doing the sacrifices and doing all of the holy things and praying for the people and interceding for the people and doing everything as a priest. You have no inheritance. So God said, those who give will be giving also to the Levites. And then beyond that, to the stranger. They were always to give and to share and be benevolent to the strangers. Why? He says, because I don't want you to forget you were a stranger. Your father was a stranger. Your ancestors were strangers. And because people were good to them and brought them through and God provided for them, He brings them to the place now. And not only to the stranger are you to share your gifts, but also to the widows, meaning the little orphans, and to the poor. So once you recognize this, this is a great liberating thing. This is why we must rejoice in everything which the Lord our God has given us. This is what's so cool about verse 11. Because when you read verse 11, look what it says. He says, if you will recognize this, if you will be humble, if you will give God the glory, if you will recognize everything has come from the Lord, and if you will share it, so you shall rejoice. Do you know why you are free to be happy? Because if you honor God with the first fruits and you take care of others, you don't have to live in guilt or shame knowing you don't deserve it. But because you honor the Lord and you honor His word and you honor His people, you honor your past and you honor those who are poor and needy around you, you are free to rejoice without shame and without guilt, because this is what all your parents and all the sacrifices they made, they want you to have what you now have. And they also want you to honor the Lord. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So what he is saying is now you can be happy, guilt-free. You can delight in the gift that God has blessed you with. Because our giving of our first fruits, acknowledging that everything I have comes from God, not that I earned it and not that I deserve it, that God is good. If you do this, God says, all of your happiness will be complete, guilt-free, if we can acknowledge our privilege by honoring the Lord. But what if we fail to do this? What if we fail to look back and thank those who went before us? What if we fail to honor the Lord first? What if we fail to share with others? Then we deceive ourselves into thinking that somehow I do deserve this. I'm smart. I worked hard. I went to college. I got a degree. It's mine. I came up with the idea. And you ignore everything else. Then God says you will lose, as it were, your bearings. You will lose yourself. You will literally begin to self-destruct. Because after this kind of, you know, fatherly advice in chapter 26 about remembering where you came from and every blessing has come from God and honoring him with the first fruits and sharing with others, we don't have time to read it, but look at chapter 27. If you just look at it briefly, you'll see a long list of curses. Basically, God's told the young generation, when you go into the promised land, I want half of the nation to stand by this mountain, and all day long, I want you to list all of these curses that will come to those who don't listen to my advice. The other half of the nation goes to another mountain, and that's in chapter 28, and he gives them a long list of all the blessings. He says, so the choice is up to you. You're entering into a covenant. Do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? And so for all day, half the nation. So basically, you know, without going into detail, it basically says, if you disobey God and you don't listen to this and you don't get it, the ground you walk on will be cursed. And then what comes up through your feet will be cursed. And then your body will be cursed. From the top of your head to the bottom of your toes will be cursed. Everything you try to do will be cursed. Your family will be cursed, your marriage, your children, your future, pretty much everything you will rot from the inside out. But on the other hand, if you listen to me, hearken to me, take my counsel, listen to my advice, and walk in my ways, and are humble, and get it, and honor me, you'll be free of guilt, you'll be able to really enjoy happiness, and the ground you walk on every day will be blessed. And what comes up through your feet will be blessed. The atmosphere and the air you breathe will be blessed. Every hair of your head to the bottom of your toes will be blessed. Your marriage will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Everything you put your hand to do will be blessed. Every crop you try to grow will be blessed. Your relationship with your neighbor will be blessed. Your whole people will be blessed. And your generations to come will forever be blessed if you follow me. I know which one I want to be in. Hallelujah. I want to be blessed. Now, so the choice before us, even to this day, is to be blessed or to be cursed. So I want to close. Go with me to chapter 28. I'm going to just read one little section of chapter 28. This is after the curses and the blessings have all been outlined. And then in chapter 28, beginning in verse 47 through 51, here's kind of the summary of everything that he ends with. He says, because you did not, so this is if you don't follow the Lord, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. Again, notice it's with joy and gladness of heart. The only way you can do it with joy and gladness of heart is when it's guilt-free, because you've honored what went before you, and you've honored God above you, and you've honored the poor that are surrounding you. For the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor shows favor to the young. And they will eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain, nor new wine, nor oil, or the increase of your cattle, or the offspring of your flocks, until they have destroyed you. How many of you know the story, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? Do you know the main, you know, one of the main characters in that story is a guy named Scrooge. He's one of the main characters. Who is Scrooge? Scrooge is the guy who's cursed. He's the guy that said, it's all mine. I did it. It's my money, my business. My employees are mine. And he sits and he counts his little coins all day. He's withdrawn. He has no family. He has no friends. He has no life. He has no happiness. He has no joy. He's the cursed man of Deuteronomy 28, because it's all about him. It's everything is about Scrooge. But then he has a set of dreams, the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future. And all of a sudden, he wakes up from the dream, terrified. He's had an awakening. He realizes that his whole life has been lived on a selfish, narcissistic premise. He thinks he deserves it. He had no human heart. He had no compassion. Little tiny Tim. So his life is transformed. And what the main thing that happens to Scrooge when he realizes that he's humbled, that he has so much, that he wants to share with a family, with a poor little child, is that it's about honoring, it's about giving, it's about sharing. He has an awakening. That is kind of what God wanted that new generation that came into the land. He wanted them to, with their mouths, and bring that basket and verbalize. He wanted that the man or the woman who can look their all of their blessings and all of their wealth and all of their prosperity, and when they look at the pile of blessings in front of them, that they will say, "Thank you, Father, from the bottom of my heart. I know that I don't deserve this, and that I'm merely the last link in a long chain of those who have come before me. Everything I have is from you, and I'm going to honor you with it, and I'm going to honor those around me. I'm going to honor your work and those who are poor and share with them." And in the end, one who comes to that awakening is the one who has found the ultimate and eternal recipe for happiness. Paul the Apostle wrote in a letter, kind of a little side thought. It's the last scripture in your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He's talking to these Corinthians. He says, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Everything you have comes from the Lord. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why are you bragging and boasting as if you had not received it?" Everything that we have been blessed with has come from God. And we want to stand with that young generation and say, "I get it. I'm awed, I'm blessed, I'm humbled. Thank you, God, for the tree and the roots and the past and the sacrifices of those who went long before me. And I'm going to honor you with everything you've given me now so that I can be a son or a daughter whom you are proud of." Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with important perspective from our studies today in Deuteronomy, here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you've tuned in. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention The Recipe for Happiness, Part 1. It's available for just $7. Again, the title, The Recipe for Happiness, Part 1. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the Feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.